So whatever you donate will be for their fundraiser so that they can go to Super Wow over the summertime. All right? I think that is all the announcements. So if you will, join me as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. This is one of my favorite verses. If you will, join me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Later on, look at that verb. That thing is packed full. So join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, the fact that you did die on a cross, and we were crucified there, our sins were crucified, and now we can live forever with you. We can have a personal relationship with you. Father, I pray that as we come to this moment, this hour, first of all, thank you for allowing us to be here. And now I pray that you would clear our minds, that we could focus on you, that we could sing praises, and we could glorify your glorious name in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand and sing with us as we lay all things down for the joy of the Lord.
Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God
is good indeed. Continue to be in the house of the Lord until the Lord calls us home. But meanwhile, we're going to pray for revival. Amen?
Amen.
We're praying for revival. Now, I know you have somebody in your heart this morning that you want to lift up this morning. Before I welcome everybody, so just let's go to the heart and just see who's in your heart this morning. Just voice the name of the person, please.
Anna.
Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come to your house today. There is no better place to be than in the house of the Lord. We are excited to be here, Lord. We want to praise you. We want to exalt you. Father, it's all about you. It's all about exalting your name. For you are our God. You are holy. Oh, you are almighty. And we rejoice, Father. We want to lift up these folks to you, Father. They're dear to us. We love them. We care for them. Father, what about a miracle? Can you do a miracle, Father, today? Even as we're praying right now, Father, may you do a miracle in their lives. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. If you are here the first time or second time, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you have a prayer request, we'd love to come to the Lord and pray. There's a little care card right here in your bulletin. And I'm so excited to be here in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us, I'd love to have you. Hope you come back. We have a vision, a mission, core values. We got all those things lined up. And we want to see revival. We want to see Fort Valley come to know Jesus. That's what it's all about. And so we want people to walk with the Lord and talk to the Lord and cry before the Lord. And also that the Lord will clear their tears away as well. So God is good. Let's continue praising the Lord.
So in just a moment, we're going to watch a video. This is our offering of Annie Armstrong. So this is where we look at what we do as Southern Baptists. How do we reach the mission field that is North America? How do we reach the people who are lost in our towns, in our cities, in our states? So, Mr. Cecil, if you'll just play the video for us, thank you.
Richmond has always had a high rate of drug abuse. And most of my adult life, I spent every waking moment seeking the next fix. And a couple blocks up is really where my heroin addiction took off. Because this is where all the drug activity was, on this street right here. I got incarcerated and a man came in, preached the gospel, and something was rearranged inside of me. And so when I got out, a lot of these folks know me, still know me from the street. And I was like, I want to tell them about Jesus. I cried because it was so simple. It was just a desire to reach people, and that's kind of how it all started. My wife and I started The Fix. We got 30 acres in the middle of nowhere. It was a gift to the ministry, and we bring men and women, and we spend the better part of a year with them, walking with them through their recovery.
Fred started preaching on Saturday nights for the students' families to come. And then we noticed that people in the community were just coming. They see Pastor Fred up there with his tattoos, and they're like, that dude gets me.
I think really that's where the heart to plant the church came from, because ultimately Jesus is the fix. That was true in my life, and I've seen it true in so many other people's lives. So from where I was to where I'm at now, you know, we started with absolutely nothing, and now we're here. Just more than we could ever imagine.
Jesus is the fix. The fix for whatever it is that you're going through in life. And the blood will never lose its power. Stand and sing with us.
Blood that gives me strength for
that the blood still works. It hasn't lost its power, and it never will. And because of that truth, we can stand today and declare, what can wash away our sins?
Father, in our lives of struggles and challenges, we look at many different places to find relief, but it's all in the blood of Jesus. And I pray that we would become to realize that more and more each and every day, the power in the blood that washes away our sins and gives us life today. As we come to now the time of offering, we pray that you would accept what we give and that you would multiply it so that your word would be spread into our world. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. One day he's coming back. And what a glorious day that will be.
Amen.
If you know the song, you're welcome to sing with us. Anytime we're up here singing, even if it's just a special, if you know the song, please sing it. Sing it loud. We're all praising God.
Dying, he saved me, bearing in care. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the sky will, his glory will shine. Wonderful day my beloved will bring. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me. Dying he saved me. Buried he carried.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good all the time. We can sing that song all day. Praise the Lord. He's coming back. Got to get ready. Got to be ready. He's coming back. He can come any minute. All right. This is preaching before preaching. All right. This is great. Praise the Lord. So what now? What now? The resurrection has taken place, and so what do we do now? That's probably the question that the disciples and those who were there in Jerusalem were asking themselves. If you have your Bibles with you, please, I'm going to start in chapter 28, verse 6. I'm going to start in verse 6, and then we're going to read through 10, and I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's holy word. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord laid. So quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, where you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your word. Thank you for that great song that we just sang. You're coming back. You're coming back. You're coming back just like you told the disciples, and you tell us in your word, you're coming back. Father, let the whole world be ready. But Father, if we just focus right here in our hometown, let Fort Valley be ready. Let Peach County be ready. Let Georgia be ready. Because Jesus is coming back. We thank you. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So what now? What happened after the resurrection? What was next? What did Jesus instruct his disciples? You know, sometimes some people can tell you something and you can hear about it. Some people, you hear somebody said something, somebody told you something, but it really is not, it doesn't validate, it doesn't ring until you experience it for yourself. And this is exactly what is happening in the text. It says in verse 9, he said, as they went in to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they went and came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. See, now they are having first experience with him. Now somebody can tell you how good some ice cream is. You can hear about it. But until you get that ice cream and you taste it, then now you can say they were correct. They were right. It's as good as advertised. In John 20:29, says Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. I love this word that Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. See, we're not there. We were not there 2,000 years ago. But we believe today. Amen? We believe today that it happened. We believe that we serve a Lord who's alive. He's alive. We serve a Lord whose tomb is empty. It's empty. So, first of all, you can have a personal relationship with God. You can have that same relationship that those folks, that those disciples had. We can have that same kind of relationship. So in verse 8 it says, so they went out and quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went in to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. He met them. See, he was personal. And you know, Jesus is all personal. It's all about personal. Jesus is personal. In verse 6 and 7, you know, it tells us that he's alive. He's alive. So Jesus is alive. But also he says that the word is alive. The spoken word is alive. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword, piercing through the division of the soul and spirit and of joints of the marrow, and is discerning of thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, the word is alive. Every time we preach the word, it's alive. It's alive. Jesus is alive. The word is alive. But not only that, but we're alive. We're alive. When we trust Jesus as our personal Savior, we're alive. We're not dead. We're alive. And sometimes you need to tell the person next to you, you're alive. Amen? Especially somebody sleeping this morning. Tell the person next to you, you're alive. You're alive. Look what Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead, we were dead. We were dead in the trespasses. He said he made us alive. We were dead. Oh, we were dead. But because Jesus conquered death, he conquered sin, we are now alive. We're alive. April 2026, we're alive. Today is Sunday. We're alive. We're not dead. We're alive. That's why we need to encourage one another and say, brother, it's going to be okay. We got resurrection power in us. I don't hear y'all. Everybody needs some Cuban coffee, I think, this morning. Or maybe some of that hot sauce I had last week. That really did it. And says, even when we were dead in the trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So Jesus is alive. The word is alive. And we're alive. I am alive. Encourage one another. Say, I'm alive. That's what I am. I am not dead. I'm alive. I am alive. Jesus is waiting for us. Oh, he's waiting for us. What glorious moment that will be. Oh, I know. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming. Oh, sometimes I pray, Lord, I wish I could come when you come and you pick me up instead of me going up there first. I can just see left and right thousands and millions of people going up in the air. Can you imagine that? Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, I don't care if I have an iPhone 18. You can have it. I don't care if I'm driving a Lamborghini, you can have it. Don't care. It doesn't matter. He's alive. We're alive. The Word of God is alive. But Jesus revealed himself to his disciples. He revealed himself to his disciples, and as they went and told and tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. Jesus himself. He revealed himself to his disciples. And that's the same way that Jesus does. He reveals himself to us. He talks to you. Listen, he speaks with you. He'll communicate with you. He'll guide you. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And listen, you can come to him. Bring your problems. Bring whatever is in your mind, whatever is in your heart. He reveals himself. He said, let me show you. Maybe you don't know if you're going to go left or right. You don't know if you should buy or not to buy, get married or not get married, leave or not leave. Talk to Jesus first. Amen? I don't think you're here this morning. Do you think we can sing that song again? Maybe get a little excitement? Oh, my word. What's going on today? If Jesus reveals himself, he said, rejoice. I'm right here. Rejoice. It's going to be okay. Whatever we're going through, it's going to be okay. Amen? Jesus is with us, and he's alive. The Word is alive. I'm alive. It's going to be okay. It's just a season. It's coming to an end. Coming to an end. So he revealed himself to us. In Matthew, there it is, as they went out and tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. He met them. You know, Jesus meets the person where the person is at. He meets you where you are. You don't have to tell Jesus anything. He already knows it. He knows everything about us. He knows what we're going through. He understands our struggles. And listen, he comes to us. He said, okay, I'm here. What are you going to do? What do you want us to do now? Where are we going to go now? Just follow me. Come on, follow me. Just follow me. That was the invitation for the disciples when he called them at the Sea of Galilee. What was it? Follow me. You know, that's all we're really doing is following Jesus. And sometimes we get distracted. Like you, like me, I have the gift of distraction. I get distracted in a jiffy. You know, if I start throwing pieces of paper in the trash can, next thing you know, I'm playing basketball and doing three-pointers. And then I say, what in the world was I doing? Hey, that was a good shot. Get distracted, just like me. How many people get distracted here? Man, I'm at home here. Praise the Lord. No wonder we get along so well. Praise the Lord. So the second thing, Jesus didn't reject when the disciples came and worship him. Look at verse 9. And it says, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice, for they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. They worshiped him. We need to worship the Lord. That's what we need to do. We need to worship the Lord. We need to worship him. If we don't worship, the stones will. The rocks will. The pebbles will. We need to praise him and worship him. Oh, he is worthy to be praised and adored. Now, why did Jesus not stop them? Why didn't he stop them? In John 10:30, he says, I am the Father and I are one. He said, we are, he said they wanted to stone him. And he replied, for you're saying blasphemy because you are a mere man and you're claiming to be God. You see, but Jesus didn't stop them this time. You know why? Because he is God. He is God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. the firstborn of all creation. There he is. And they were worshiping him. And this time, it wasn't blasphemy. He didn't say anything. He just allowed it. He said, the 100% man, 100% God. Death has been conquered. I am God. I am God. Our Lord. He's our Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one who said from the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. He's the same one. He was right there, and they worshiped him. He didn't reject it. He didn't reject it. But something else, I love what the disciples did. You see what else they did? He says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet. Can you imagine that? They were grabbing on. Are you reminded me when I had my little youngins? I finally learned how to say youngins correctly, I think. And they would just grab onto my legs, and I walked down the hallway, one in one side, the other one the other side, and just walking, and they were dragging. I mean, if you remember that. Oh, what a fun time. And they just dragging, and they would say, Daddy, do it again. Okay, here we go. And they would come, and they'd be holding on. This is exactly what's happening here. They're holding on. They're holding on to Jesus. You know, some of us need to hold on to Jesus. We're holding on to something else. And Jesus is saying, what are you doing? I'm the Lord. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the one who conquered death. And what are you doing holding on? Sometimes we hold grudges. Sometimes we hold things, spirits of unforgiveness, of things that happened so many years ago. You don't even remember the year or the day, but you do remember the experience. Sometimes we need to hold on to Jesus. One of the fun times we had with our three little amigos and my beautiful bride, we used to travel. We travel across this country. We've never been to Hawaii yet or Alaska, but we travel a lot. We said we would just want to and visit and enjoy this beautiful, wonderful life that Jesus has given me. I mean, he brought me from the bars and the cantinas and gave me a new life in Christ. I said, Lord, thank you. I want to enjoy it. You know, I always ask the Lord, Lord, what is that John 10:10 that you have given us life in abundance? And the Lord said, you got it right around you. You got your wife. You have your children. Enjoy them. Enjoy them. So one of my boys said, Daddy, I want to go to Hershey Park. Now, when he said Hershey Park, I thought he was just wanting a big chocolate. That's what I thought. You know. Of course not. We end up in Pennsylvania. And there we were at Hershey Park. And, you know, I said, look, I just want to see. I just enjoy watching you guys do whatever you're going to do. But one of our little guys got sick, and so Dad, they said, we need three people on the ride. And I said, well, there's thousands of people here. Ask anybody. He said, no, Dad, we want you to go. And I said, that's the biggest thing that is here, son. Are you kidding me? That green thing? It was called the Green Monster. The official name was Jolly Rancher Remix. The name says it all. And listen, and I saw that big line, I said, I have enough time to pray. And here it comes, the gentleman said, I got room for three right now. Listen, he didn't let me to pray. Next thing you know, I'm on this thing here, and I'm trying to hold on. You were only grabbed by the legs. That was it. And then you were in midair. Listen, I held on to that thing. I didn't open my eyes until I heard that thing stopped. I just held on tight. Sometimes that's what God wants us to do. Jesus said, just hold on to me. I'll be okay. Just hold on to me. Hey, listen. It says that in 90 seconds, that thing turns six times. I have no idea how many times I turned. In 90 seconds, six times. If somebody asked me, how was the experience? I had no idea. But you can get my fingerprints right there. My word. And I didn't know where to hold on to. I just grabbed that little thing and closed my eyes and said, Jesus, just take me. Let this thing be finished. I made it alive. Would I do it again? Don't ask. Sometimes you just got to hold on to the Lord. Like a roller coaster. You think it's never going to end. It's not one thing, it's another thing. Lately, I've been doing a lot of upgrades in my house. Not because I want to, but because I have to. Garage door. I said, oh, that should be a simple thing. Yeah, $3,500 later. That wasn't that simple. There's always something, you know that. Not the car. It's an argument. Or you just forgot to crack the egg correctly. Next thing you know, you're in crunchy eggs. But there is always something. Hold on to Jesus. That's what they did. As soon as they saw him, they grabbed him by the feet. Hold on to Jesus. Tell the person next to you, hold on to Jesus. I can't hear you. I hope he heard you, but that's good. You need to hold on to Jesus. Hold on to him. He will meet you. He will reveal himself to you. In the midst of everything, he'll come to you. He'll take you by the hand again. Say, let's go. Let's go. Time to make the next step. Got to move on. So what did Jesus tell his disciples? What did he tell his disciples when he met them and he talked with them? It's interesting, this word disciple, and there is a definition by discipleship.org, and it's interesting the way that he defines discipleship. And a disciple is, a disciple is someone who is following Jesus. See, I think we need to kind of redefine and maybe come back and revisit the definition of discipleship. Because sometimes we think discipleship is about coming to church. We come to church, we're here for an hour, and we go home. Then we'll see you next Sunday. Then if you can't come next Sunday, then you only came 1 hour in 2 weeks. Jesus' definition of discipleship is totally different. The biblical definition of discipleship is really to follow Jesus. Someone is following Jesus. That's what a disciple is. You're following Jesus wherever you go. You're making decisions based on what Jesus thinks. And then it says, being changed by Jesus. So the first thing, we're following the Lord. See, that's all we're doing. It's not as hard as we think it is. Jesus, what do you think? Lord, I have to make this decision. What do you think, Lord? I'm following you. You're the one who saved my soul. You're the one who has my name written in the book of life. So what do you want me to do, Lord? You are the Lord, and I am the servant. I am not the Lord. And Jesus put it this way. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do? So We're following Jesus. And he's changing us. Now, how does Jesus change us? Little bit at a time. Am I being transparent with you? Before I came to know the Lord, I could not stand in front of two people. My jaw would move. My hands would shake. When I was in high school, sometimes I had an A until I had to do a presentation. And that A turned to a C or a D. Good thing is D stands for Dennis, and C stands for Christ. So I was good. But I would shake, and I said, whatever, the first thing I saw when they gave us the syllabus, you have a presentation that is 50%. And that just killed me. But slowly through the years, Jesus says, I'll go to Lowe's and get some fine sandpaper. Don't worry about it. I'll sand you over time a little bit. Sometimes, you know, they got different grades of paper. I think the Lord grabbed a real rough one on me. Begin to sand me down until I do what he tells me to do. So he's changing you. You may not believe that he is. Maybe you don't notice, but anybody who's chasing Jesus will be transformed. And then there's the word commitment. And is committed to the mission of Jesus. So we're following Jesus. He's changing us. And then we're committed to his mission. And what is the mission? Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. See, some of us need to come back and get on track with the Lord again. Because we think it's about coming to church. We think, hey, listen, we feel good. I went to church. Hey, listen, it feels good to go to church. But there is something better. Follow Jesus. Whenever you make a decision, talk to Jesus. Now you're following Jesus. Jesus, do you want it? Yes or no? Hey, maybe it's the timing of it. Lord, is this the right timing of it? Is this the time that I need to engage in this business endeavor? Is this your time? Listen, God wants to bless us all the time. But what happens is that we do things and then we ask God to bless it. And then we get mad at God because things didn't work out the way we wanted to. Well, God said, I never told you to go in the first place. But if you are committed to the mission and you are aligned with him, following Jesus, let him change you. You know the best way to be changed by the Lord is just being the Word of God. Just read the Bible. Just go book per book like we're doing on Wednesdays. Love to have y'all. Just let the word just speak to you. Don't get into deep theological thinking. Don't get into deep, oh, I wonder what they think about this. No, just let the Lord speak to you. Just, as somebody told me, hush. Just listen to me. The Lord will speak to you. He will guide you. He will bless you. And when you go to bed that night, you will know that you have done what God wants you to do. No doubt. You'll sleep good. So, what did he tell them? Verse 10. What did Jesus tell them? He says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Isn't that interesting? The first thing that Jesus tells his disciples coming out of the tomb, of conquering death, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. The way Paul put it in Philippians, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't be afraid. God is with you. He's with you. He said, do not be afraid. In the Gospels, the phrase, do not be afraid, shows up 20 times. That means it's important to God. When something is continuously being repeated to you, it means it's important to that person. I want your room to be fixed. The person who's telling you, it's a priority for them to have a neat room. Don't leave things on the table. The person who tells you, that's important for that person who's telling you that. How many men know what I'm talking about, leaving things on the table? Well, only two, praise the Lord. Not a lot. This is not an office. How many of you heard that before? Now more hands come up. Boy, that's much better. It's important for Jesus. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. In John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I give to you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it like the world gives. And there's the word there. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You got to know who your daddy is. Don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous. If you know God wants you to do it, Lord, I don't know all of this, I don't know everything, but you said to do it. You tell me to be strong. Here I am, Lord. I can do it. I will do it. And then I love this other text. Isaiah 41:10. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Never forget. Do not fear, because I am with you, says the Lord. He's with you. You will overcome. You'll be an overcomer. You can overcome drugs. You can overcome financial problems. You can overcome emotional problems. You can overcome spiritual problems. It doesn't matter what's before you. God is with you. He's with you. And then he says, don't be afraid. I got you. Then go. It says go. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me. You need to go. You need to go. You need to go. See, they were in Jerusalem. Now he tells them, go to Galilee. It was geographical. They had to take this message that the tomb was empty, that he's alive. The world is alive. We're alive. We're not dead. We're alive. Go, he said. They had to go to other cultures. They had to move from their comfort zone. They had to go. I even wrote it up there in Louisiana. That's how you spell go in Louisiana, by the way. You probably heard go Tigers. That's right there, up there. I'm sorry I said that. I'm in danger now. But they had to go from Jerusalem to Galilee. They're not to stay where they were. They had to move. Sometimes we have to move. There's toxic relationships that doesn't let you grow. You need to move. You got to go, so you can be faithful to the Lord. Some say there's, from where they were to where Jesus was telling them to go, there was 75 to 90 miles. Some say that it was 3 to 6 days to get up there. But not only that, it was going from being 100% Jewish to a more Gentile. So there was cross-cultural relationships here that they had to overcome. But they had to go. Don't be afraid, Jesus said. Second thing, he said, you need to go. You need to go. And then you need to tell. You need to tell. You need to tell everybody that I'm alive. You need to tell everybody that Jesus is alive. You need to tell everybody that Jesus is alive. Tell people that Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. They had to go, and they had to tell. They had to talk about the Lord. Tell other people what the Lord has done in your life. Do we have any witnesses here of what God has done in your life? I don't think we have the time. We sit down and you look at your life, where you've been. Maybe when you were most rebellious, you saw the hand of God. Maybe when you were walking away from God, you saw his love and his grace. That's why you're back. Talk about the Lord. Talk about the Lord. Engage in spiritual conversation. Slowly. You know, I love football. I love football and football, both of them. The NFL draft is coming. We can talk about football. Who's going to draft who? Top 10 linebackers, top 10 wide receivers, who's going to be the best quarterback, who's going to be number one and number two and number three. Hey, listen, all that is good. We live here. We're not Martians. We live in this world. But take that commercial plane a little bit and turn it a little bit. Not IF-16, Brother Rick. Slowly. And turn it into a spiritual conversation. By the way, do you go to church anyway? By the way, have you ever trusted Christ as your personal Savior? You went from talking about the dogs, now talking about you. You move the plane a little bit, not too fast. Hey, listen, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? Hey, listen, number three, I want to invite you to church. They got this guy at First Baptist Church. I don't understand him, but he drinks a lot of Cuban coffee. I think you like him. Invite him to church. I believe that if we do those three things up there, this church, regardless of who's preaching here, will never close. Never close. The invitation was open. Jesus was sending them to cross-cultural ministry. Jews and Gentiles alike. Anyone can experience God. We need to share with Jews and Gentiles. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. In Galatians 2:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. God is good. He's here. He's is alive. You don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. This is the day of salvation. Or perhaps you want to come and be part of our local family here called First Baptist Church. We want to be a family of faith that glorifies God. That's our vision. Maybe you want to come and you want to make a U-turn. You know the beauty of following Christ? You can always make a U-turn and come back to Him and say, Lord, here I am. I want to follow You again. What's in your heart this morning? As our praise team leads us, what's in your heart?
Stand and sing with us. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, hymn 413.
And will you dismiss us in prayer, please?